Good morning. As we begin our worship this morning, would you stand?
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I
worship this morning. Greet one another.
We have come into this house and gathered in this name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Christ.
everybody 6th grade and under. 0 years of age through about 12. Come on down. Sit right here. Come on, Isaac and Berkeley and Katie. Oh, man, look at all these kids. That's not everybody. Do you guys want to come? You can come. It's okay. If they don't want to come down, the new guys sometimes go, what in the world is going on? I don't. What are they going to do to me down there? How many of you went to the fish fry last night? All right. I can tell you this. My wife brought some home to me. I ate it about 9 o'clock last night. It's not as good cold as it was off the fryer. But it wasn't bad. I liked it. It'll microwave a little bit, but it gets a little tough. You know? Hey, how we doing? Hi, Isaac.
I brought a nail.
You brought a nail?
Uh-huh.
Oh, your fingernail. These moments are always enlightening. All right. Okay. How many of you know what happened? It just got over with. It lasted for 17 days. And we watched it on TV. What was it? The Olympics. The Olympics. And they start out in the swimming pools and they end up on the running tracks. And I want to read a verse of scripture to you. Do you know that the Bible, do you know that the Olympics really got started back in Bible times? I mean, that's how long this has been going on. Back in the early days. Yeah, isn't that amazing, Lizzie? That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So, let me read you a verse out of the Bible. It says this, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. How many of you know what this is? What is this? That's not the prize. That is a baton. You remember, did you see any of those races where they put more than one person in the race and they have to hand each other a stick and they run around? That's what that is. That's a track baton. Okay, when I was in high school, in junior high, I ran track, and I was part of a relay team, and we were pretty good. We set some school records and some things, but I remember one meet in particular where I was running, and I ran up to the second guy to hand him the baton, and he took off, and when I handed him the baton, he didn't catch it. He didn't get it. And our coach was up in the press box, and he had the PA on, and he forgot. I've never forgotten since. What he said was not nice. That was not nice. But when you drop the baton in track, that means you're disqualified. You can't finish the race. But the important thing about relays is teamwork. And you know, we just had Faith, Family, and Fun Day, and we had teamwork. We had everybody working together. Because what we want to do is we want to win the prize. And there's a couple of prizes. When we work together, good things happen for the kingdom of God here. People hear about the gospel and people receive nice things and they understand that God loves them. But when we run the race successfully, we cross the finish line, we get a prize. Well, that same relay team that I used to run on, when we were all sophomores, we ran and helped our team win the Willow Springs Relays. And nobody thought we could do it because we were all sophomores. But we ran the relay and we won the prize. Now, I know that's not a huge prize. But when you're a sophomore and they don't give trophies to everybody else, only the relay teams got trophies. Everybody else got medals. We got trophies. So that was the prize. The cool thing is when we run our spiritual journey, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and we live our life for Him, what this scripture is talking about is finishing that journey. And what's our prize?
Faith
is a good prize that we have faith, but when we get to the end of the journey, we cross the finish line and we go to heaven. And so that's one of the prizes, is getting to go to heaven. That's the best prize ever. That's right. Yeah. And so I want to read one more verse of scripture to you out of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. What does that mean? What's the word perseverance mean? That's a big old word. Yeah. You have no clue what it means. It means to stick with it. It means don't give up. It means keep running. Your mom and dad were running some distance races, weren't they, Jacob? They were running some long distance. And they get tired, but they didn't give up. They went out to California and ran a big long race, didn't they? But they didn't give up, and they crossed the finish line, and they got the prize. So what we want to do is life, sometimes life is a long time. But Jesus is with us. You know, the second verse here says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So, we accept Jesus into our life. He helps us run the race successfully, and we get to go to heaven. How about that? Wouldn't that be a good thing? All right, so we're glad you're here today. We want you to grow up to love Jesus. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to do everything we can to teach you about Jesus and to help you love Jesus your whole life so that all of us can go to heaven together. Won't that be fun? And we'll have the prize. All right, so thank you for coming today. You can go back and sit with your mom and dads, and we're so glad you're here. God loves you, and we love you.
Well, good morning. How many of you have a new found appreciation for children's workers? Yes, definitely. Definitely. Well, we want to say good morning to everyone. As Pastor mentioned briefly, we had our annual fish fry yesterday evening. We had a great turnout. We had between 60, 52? Okay, so between 50 and 60, roughly, people. We had a little bit of weather. We had a lot of fish. We had a little bit of games. I'm sad to announce that I had to relinquish, Matt and I, our title of washer champion. It's under protest.
Sorry,
it's under protest due to the weather, but Rennie and Scott put up some good competition, but it was a good time. It's a time that a lot of us look forward to every year. So, looking forward to next year and maybe regaining that title back, hopefully. So, well, if you're a visitor this morning, we want to say good morning and welcome to you all. We hope that you make yourselves feel welcome. Kind of put that visitor title off to the side.
Amen.
And just make yourselves at home this morning. Right now we're going to go ahead and turn to our bulletin. I've got just a few announcements really to touch on. For you church board members, please remember that Tuesday evening, 6:30 here at the church, we will be having a pastoral review. So please make it a priority to be here Tuesday night, 6:30, if you are part of the church board. Then upcoming events on our calendar. The Ladies Fellowship is having an outing down at the Willard's Cabin on the 9th of September. There is to be a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. It's going to be at 6:30. You ladies can either stay the night or not. Depending on how many ladies sign up, there is a potential for some carpooling. But Mary wanted me to make certain to let you all know to bring your favorite snack. So again, that was September 9th, Ladies Fellowship, possible sleepover down at Mary Willard's Cabin, sign-up sheet to be out on the Welcome Center for that. And then again, of course, September 11th is coming up. We've made several announcements about this in the prior weeks, but there will be a special service September 11th, that Sunday evening, out at the Nixa High School football field at 5 p.m. It's going to be One Nation Under God, where we will be kind of honoring our local fire and first responders, our ambulance workers and whatnot. So we hope that we've got a good turnout, that a lot of you will come out to that. That's, again, at the Nixa High School. One thing that's not in our bulletin, but we're going to be starting up our pastries and prayer this coming month when September starts. And Carolyn, are you heading that up again? If you want to be involved or participate in that, maybe help pass out or deliver those pastries each month, see Carolyn. It's not an easy task, but it's a task that this church has kind of taken up to honor and pray for each one of our school buildings throughout the year. We'll get a list of those different schools that we're going to be praying for each month out to you. Are we going to be starting with the administration building? So our FOT building will be our first building that we're going to be focusing on come first of next month. So thank you.
Ben, you might mention tonight, 6 o'clock, the Alaska Work and Witness team will do their presentation, and then next Sunday is First Sentinel Class.
Yeah. First, as Pastor said, we had some gentlemen here at the church, three gentlemen from our particular church that went to Alaska a couple few weeks ago for a work and witness trip. And it's always nice to hear back their experience when they return. So that will be this evening at our 6 o'clock service. And then, of course, next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, and we always have communion. So be prepared and ready for that for next week.
The mission of Jesus Christ is to win the whole world for Him.
Amen.
He came for that. He looked at His disciples as He was getting ready to depart this earth and said, "Go." And that's our responsibility. We're part of that go. God, help us to accept that and do our part in taking His mission to a world that desperately needs the Lord right now. And how privileged this pastor has been to have been a part. And God has allowed me to go to different parts of the world to take Jesus Christ. And I feel like when I return from these mission trips, as far as what I've been able to do, I could sit on a linoleum. Now, everybody knows what linoleum is. I guess I should say little square of linoleum, and hang my feet over the edge and still not be able to touch the floor. I want to have that kind of spirit that God can use to reach the world for Him. And I think that's your desire. And I appreciate so much your supporting Work and Witness and the mission of reaching our world for Jesus Christ. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the privilege of being able to assemble together for the freedom of our country. So far, still to be able to do that. Guide and direct this offering. Break it. Give wisdom to those that are in charge of using it. And we give you the praise. Amen.
His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless so worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Savior died, downward for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. My heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Cast my poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name. Your name is mine. Jesus, Your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, Your name is mine. Jesus, Your name is healing.
Amen.
Jesus, Your name. Jesus, Your name will free every captive. Jesus, Your name is mine. Jesus, Your name is holy. Jesus, Your name. Your name above every other. Jesus, Your name is mine. Jesus, Your name above
As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, again, we, as always, we are mindful of those items that are listed within our bulletin, the names of people that are part of our church family or people that are connected to people that are part of our church family that indeed are battling battles of various kinds. Vonda Gardner especially needs our prayers this morning. She's home from the hospital, but really has not had the improvement that they would like for her to have. And so we ask you to continue to pray for Vonda and for Leo as she is recovering from her stay in the hospital and whatever it is that's plaguing. She did, they were able to diagnose the pneumonia portion or the start of that, and yet some of the other things that they've not really been able to put their finger on, she's still battling with. And so we encourage you to remember her. Matt's dad has been moved to a rehab facility, and he is recovering from a stroke. And so there's some signs of improvement, and yet a long ways to go yet. And so you pray for Matt's dad that indeed the right side of his body will begin to respond, his speech, his sight, those kinds of things, that he'll be able to regain a full function of his physical faculties. And then Rennie and Betty have been talking to us for a little while. They have family that's flying in from Indonesia, I believe, and they're going to be here on a mission furlough for about 8 months, 4 in the Springfield area and 4 in the Kansas City area. Is that right, Rennie and Betty? Okay. And so be praying for them. They'll kind of be in and out over this next month or so, getting to spend some time with their family, and we're glad that that's happening. And so we pray for you and the times that you will have together, and indeed the services that they will be a part of as they do their mission work while they're here on furlough. Continue to remember Joanne Sissel, who is in Quail Creek Rehab. Burt Mills has moved back to the Bradford. We're excited about that. She's excited about that and looking forward to being able to be back in church service with us sometime in the future. And so you pray that that will be possible. And we have a number of ongoing names, some that are in service with us this morning. We're glad you're well enough to be with us, but we know that you're still fighting some battles and some struggles. And indeed, that's why we have your name here, because we want to lift you up. We want to support you. Indeed, pray that God will work in your lives and all the situations that are going on. I hope that you will pray for this service on 9/11 that the Minister Alliance is putting together. We have the opportunity, because of people's patriotic spirit, to perhaps have people that will come into the stadium and be a part of that service that might not step into a church sanctuary, but indeed there will be a message that will lift up God and draw their attention to His provision and to His involvement in our lives. And so there'll be a lot of great components to that. So a very patriotic service, but also a very spiritual service. And so we're looking forward to having you with us, as well as the public. It's getting out the word, and so we're looking forward to a great gathering in the stadium on 5 o'clock on 9/11. And then sometimes we do things that are outreach to our community. We do different programs that we indeed are trying to get the message out to people. And indeed, let people know that there is a church here that they can grow and love God in if they want to. And we just finished 8 weeks of God's Love Giveaway. We finished our Faith, Family, and Fun Day. And I have here a note that I want to read to you. And I want to put you on the spot, Dave, Kathy, and Michael. But I want to read this to the people because they need to hear this. And it says, "Dear Pastor Gary and church family, we are so happy and blessed to receive the visitor gift card. It really helped us. It was so much needed, and we were able to get some medicine that we all three needed, and food and gas. Please keep Dave in your prayers. He fell again this week. He is okay. Some days are better than others. And also pray for our van that it will keep on going. It is old, and it is starting to have things go wrong. We are not financially able to get it fixed. This is our only transportation to get to church, grocery store, doctor. A big thank you to you all." Now here comes the good part. This is a really good, I mean, it's all good, but this is really good. "We have really felt love in this church." That's you. You make that happen. And you make me proud. Michael, our son, had said when he was at church, "You can really feel God in this church." It's what we want, isn't it? This is God's house, not our house. And all we want is for people to come and know God, to grow, to be touched by His Spirit, Dave and Kathy and Michael. And so we're so glad that they have become a part of our church family. And so good to see you this morning. And I like Michael because he lets me tease him. He doesn't get mad at me. So anyway, we're just glad for the Crawfords to be here. We're thankful for their family. We're thankful for your family. Thankful for all of the folks who have come in since our 8 weeks of God's Love giveaway and have made yourselves at home here in our church. We like that. We want you to do that. And truth of the matter is, I'm pretty fond of those of you who've been hanging around here for a long time. And so, you know, it takes the old and the new together. And we will continue to reach out to our community with His love and His Spirit. And last year we gave away a gift card, and we saw that person one time, and that was okay. That was within the rules of what we were doing. And we don't know exactly what happened, but here's a case where we were able to touch a family that has become a part of us. And so that's exciting to see those results. And so thank you. Thank you for all that you do and all that you give to make that possible. We continue to reach out to our community, as Ben already said, with the pastries and prayer, as we'll be touching every school building in our network throughout the course of this year. And so thank you for making that possible through your giving, your financial support. That's how that all comes about. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to open these altars to you. If you indeed need a place of prayer, some place to surrender something or to lift up praise, whatever the case might be, to pray intercessorily for someone else, whatever your need might be, these altars are open to you, a place to meet God. And during this portion of the service, no one will come to you. This is your private time with God. You come and do whatever you need to do. But we want to offer you that place in time of prayer. And so we're going to sing together. And you can come, and then we're going to lift our voices in prayer.
In your presence, there is comfort. In your
Lord, we're glad you're here. If we came here and you weren't here, it'd just be pointless. But Lord, we know the reason you're here is because you dwell in the temple of the believer. You're in our hearts. And so when we come, you come with us. And so if our hearts are open to you, and if we're in relationship to you, then we can be guaranteed that every time we come into this place, you will be here. But Father, we also thank you for that special spirit that comes when we gather corporately. Oh, there's been special times in our personal devotional lives. And Lord, I can even think of times driving down the road with the radio on when a song would minister to me and you would just come and fill the presence, fill that car with your presence. But Lord, there's something special about the Lord's Day in the Lord's house with God's family. And so, Father, we are glad to be in your presence and to have the privilege of entering the throne room of God. To come and to bring our praise. We love you. We praise you. You are worthy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are worthy of all our praise. And Lord, we acknowledge that we're a needy people. And we come with our requests today. You said you have not because you ask not. Ask, seek, knock, it'll be given to you. And so, Lord, we come in the spirit of boldness that you told us to in the Word, and we ask for the things that we need, and we come as intercessors on behalf of others that have needs that maybe don't even know how to pray for themselves. Maybe some folks, Father, who aren't related to you, and they're afraid to pray. Lord, I'm glad somebody prayed for me so that I would come to you. And Lord, we think of the lost of our community. We think of the ones that we've been trying to minister to through these outreach events and invitations that have been extended. Lord, we thank you for the visitors who have come into our services, both because of those events and invitations and those who come just because you lead them, Father, into this place. And our prayer is that they will find a comfortable place to worship you and to where they sense your presence and can hear the voice of God and follow the will of God, know the word of God. So Lord, thanks for meeting with us today. Thanks for giving us a place where we can lay down our burdens and lift up our praise. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit and empowering us to be overcomers. We owe you everything, Lord, for without you we're nothing, but through you we can do all things. I know I've repeated it many, many times from this pulpit, but I love that scripture that says we're able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine according to your power that's at work within us. Lord, I want your power working in my life. And Lord, we want to be a place that's open to anyone and to everyone. We want to be a hospital. We want to be a place of restoration and reconciliation. We want to be a place of empowerment. Lord, I know that's asking for a lot, but I believe you can help us to help people find their place in the kingdom. And that's our goal. That's our desire. And that we'll grow and be stronger every day in our relationship with you. And that we will indeed, as we said to the children, reach the goal, cross the finish line, make it to heaven. But Lord, while we're here, we don't want to just be passing through. We want to be making a difference for the kingdom every day that you allow us to live. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for the privilege of having a relationship with you. We are humbled and honored. We ask these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus, the Son of God, our brother. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Don't you appreciate these platform workers, our praise team and our musicians, all the people that make up this time together? Don't they do a great job? Amen. Yeah, it's all right. Appreciate them. And there are many of you who fill in their spots when some of them have to be gone, and we appreciate you too. How many of you had a Sunday school teacher this morning? How many of you had a good Sunday school teacher this morning? We've got some good ones, and we appreciate them as well. Appreciate folks who do things behind the scenes, clean up the kitchen after meetings and all those kinds. It takes all of us working together. We're talking about that relay team. It takes all of us working together to accomplish what God wants to do in His church, in His body, and in His world. For the last couple of years, we have, with a renewed intentionality, tried to up our game in regard to outreach. Try to do a better job of extending the love of Jesus Christ outside of the building. We've always had a great group of people. We have a good time when we come together, whether it's here in the sanctuary or whether it's in the fellowship hall over food or whatever it is, we always enjoy it, or whether it's out at somebody's house frying fish. You know, we just have a good time because we like each other. We love each other, and the Lord loves us, and that's good to be in that spirit, isn't it? But there's people out there that don't know that or understand that, and we want them to. Don't you want other people to know the love of God? And so we have intentionally been trying to do some things that would allow us the opportunity to effectively be involved in those people's lives. And one of the things that we do is when we have an event or when we do a ministry or when we have a program or we do a curriculum or whether it's inside or outside the church, one of the things that we do is we evaluate things after those are over and say, okay, well, you know, what did that event cost us? And how many workers did we have? And how many people did we have come to that thing? And did we indeed get to give the message out? And how many people might have responded to that message? And what happened as a result of those things? And I guess I may have given these numbers out on Sunday night, and so maybe all of you haven't heard them, but over the 8 weeks that we did God's Love Giveaway, we had 22 new people, first-time visitors, come in our service. And out of that number, we've had at least three or four of those family units that have continued to connect with us multiple times. And so we're very grateful for that. For those of you who are new, who came during the 8 weeks of God's Love Giveaway, and you thought you were visitors, you're not. You're one of us now. And so we're glad for that. And yet we celebrate you because you indeed are new life in our church. And we thank you for that. And we appreciate that. And we're glad to have you with us. And for those of you who have worked these events, thank you for the time and the money that you have contributed to allow us to do these outreach ministries. The bottom line, whether it's our individual lives or whether it's the corporate things that we do as a church family, there is a challenge in the scripture. And what I want us to consider this morning, because I'm going to be honest with you, I think the church has excused itself a little bit. What I'm going to share with you this morning is something God laid on my heart. And I just believe that in my own life it can be better. I think as a church we can do better. Has anybody here ever gone to a nursery, or maybe somebody gave you a start or something, but you decided you wanted to have a fruit tree? Has anybody here ever wanted to have a fruit tree? Anybody here ever tried to plant a fruit tree and have it bear fruit? Okay. And did any of you, experience that when you planted that tree, that it took longer for it to bear fruit than you thought it was going to? How many of you maybe got it to the point that it had some pretty leaves on it and maybe some flowers and you thought you were going to get some fruit? How many of you ever had a fruit tree you planted and you didn't get fruit on it when you thought you were going to? How many of you thought about taking it back to the nursery? How many of you thought about just cutting it down? How many of you at least were dissatisfied that it didn't bear fruit the way you thought it ought to? Be honest now, if you've planted a fruit tree and you had, how many of you got disappointed because it didn't bear fruit the way you thought it ought to? Because you were saying, I bought this, it's a fruit tree, and it should bear fruit. You know where I'm headed with this? Well, if you don't, I'll help you. John chapter 15. John chapter, we're going to talk about fruitfulness this morning. All the things that we do as a church are so that we bear fruit. We're expecting some kind of a result. What's the point of doing something if you're not going to get the result? So we're going to talk a little bit about this passage of Scripture this morning and what it means for us as individuals and as a corporate body. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. And we're going to talk. Has anybody here ever raised grapes? Anybody here ever had a vineyard? You had a vineyard, Pat? Your dad had a vineyard, so you got to work in the vineyard. Did you have some grapes in your vineyard? Were they the purple kind or the white kind? Purple grapes. Did you have any of those green ones or white ones? Had some of those too? Okay. So do some vines, since you had a vineyard, do some vines have more grapes on them than others? Was there anything you needed to do to help them have more grapes? He pruned them all back, and they about wiped them out, huh? You thought so, but they came back and made grapes? They did. Okay. All right. Well, we'll kind of get into that in a little bit, probably. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch. Why did he have to say this first? Why couldn't he leave this for later? I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. You're going to get cut one way or the other. So just know that up front. You can't be fruitful without a little work. Okay? Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch, listen to this now, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So this is proof of being a disciple, that we bear fruit. Now, I just have these crazy ideas sometimes that when you read something like that, that there's kind of like the opposite side of that. And so that would sort of say to me, it's just how I think. I'm not saying it's absolutely right, but it's how I think. If you don't bear fruit, you're not a disciple. Oh, that was a roaring success. Maybe we should get a different book. I could get a different book and preach from it. It would be easier. You want me to do that? Okay, well, we're going to read in this book then. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. We sang that this morning, didn't we? You are my friends. Janet didn't even know this is what I was preaching. Good job, Janet. All right. Greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. And that's what we talked about last week, loving like our Lord. So, what is fruit? I mean, that's really the question, isn't it? If we're talking about fruitfulness and we're reading stuff in the Bible that says basically, if you're not fruitful, I may cut you off. Or if you're not fruitful, I don't care what you say, you're not my disciple. Maybe we got to figure out what fruit is, so that we can figure out if that's what we are or not. And so as I kind of researched this and studied this, what I basically found out is there are kind of two legs to this tree, okay, when you talk about fruit. It basically has two definitions that fit into what we're talking about here, and that is this. Number one, fruit is the reproductive body of a seed plant or human offspring. So basically what we're talking about is fruit is the reproduction of like kind. And I don't know what kind of fruit tree you had. Did anybody here have an orange tree? You have an apple tree? Okay. So when your apple tree bore fruit, did it give you oranges? We expect it to bear the fruit it's supposed to bear. It bears like kind. If it's an apple tree, we expect apples. If it's an orange tree, we expect oranges. If it's, You know, banana stalk, we expect bananas. If it's a grapevine, we expect grapes. If we are disciples, we should be reproducing disciples. And isn't that the Great Commission? Go and make disciples. Okay. So that's one side of this. But the other side is this. Fruit is also the result from some action. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, the fruit of your labor? Okay, so fruit is the result of some action. So if we're going to be fruitful, we should be reproducing like kind, or Christians, disciples, whatever title you want to get, but we should be seeing the winning of souls. And we also should be seeing the production of Christ in our lives. This production is expected. That's we just got to accept this. You know, and this is where I think the church kind of lets itself off the hook. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 and 20, it says this. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So there is an expectation of fruit bearing. And if we go back to our text in John chapter 15 and verse 16, it says, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. That's why he chose us. Because he wanted to do something in us and through us to get to the end result that he has, which the reason Jesus came to this earth was to bring people back into right relationship with God. It was to bring forth converts. It was to have disciples, have followers. And so he chose us that he could use us and through us get reproduction. But he also tells us in the book of Galatians that he expects something out of our character. You see, if you turn into Galatians chapter 5 and you read verses 22 and 23, it says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So when God says, I chose you to bear fruit, I believe that what the Scripture indicates is that he expects us to reproduce like kind. He expects us to produce other Christ followers, because that's what we are. We're a follower of Christ. We've accepted Jesus Christ. We follow Christ. We follow his teaching. But he also expects out of us, he expects us to as we read his word, he expects us to have his character, because he's placed his Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not that we're trying just to emulate him or imitate him, or you know, it's really his Spirit is in us, and when we get out of the way, the character of his Spirit shines through us. We just have to get ourselves out of the way. We have to die. Oh, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? That's why we have such a hard time with it. But here's what I know. These are not really two separate things. Stop and think about this. If you come into relationship with Jesus Christ and you surrender your will and you are filled with his Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is lived out in your life, in the everyday world, when somebody does something ugly to you and you don't do something ugly back, you don't get bent out of shape, you stay under control, you don't lose your temper, and you say, bless you, my friend, and you do something nice back to them, somebody's going to notice. Whether it's the person on the receiving end or somebody who's an observer, and when that happens, somewhere along the line, eventually, somebody's going to approach you and say, how you do that? Everybody doesn't do that. How do you do that? And so the very fact that the fruit of the Spirit is born out in your life, into your relationships and your daily activities, somebody's going to notice that and they say, how'd you do that? And when they do that, then you're able to share your testimony of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit in your life that overcomes your humanity and your carnality, and all of a sudden now the fruit of the Spirit bears the gospel message, and the fruit of reproducing like kind comes into effect because those people say, tell me how to do that. So they're really not two separate things. So the obvious question is, if that's what fruit is, how do we produce fruit? Now, I want to take you on a little journey here. Isn't that a nice picture? That's a bee on a fruit tree flower. The reason I know that is because I looked it up on the internet and said, give me a picture of a bee on a fruit tree flower. And that's what we got. So I know it's a fruit tree. So just work with me on this. And what that bee is doing, he's pollinating. Did you know that's how fruit grows? There's a flower bud that comes up on the tree, and the bee comes and pollinates, or the pollen is through the air. At any rate, at some point, the seed comes and fertilizes the flower, and that flower turns into a piece of fruit. That's what happens. So fruit is produced by pollinization or fertilization. You say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, because if we're going to reproduce ourselves, there has to be pollination or fertilization of a concept or an idea. So let me kind of bring it closer to home. How many of you have ever heard that song, Getting to Know You, Getting to Know All About You? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about you and Jesus. Getting to know each other. And out of that knowledge and out of that relationship, there's something that happens that turns into fruit and indeed produces the love of Jesus Christ in our actions and attracts people to Jesus Christ and then brings them into relationship with Jesus Christ and they become Christians themselves. And in our text in John chapter 15 and verse 5, it says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Now, how many of you believe the Word of God? How many of you know the stuff in red letters is what Jesus said? Okay, so Jesus said, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear fruit. Not you might bear fruit if you decide that you're not bashful. Or you might bear fruit, you know, if somebody comes and just begs you to lead them to the Lord. But if you remain in me and I remain in you, then you're going to bear fruit. And it's because the seed gets into the flower and pollinates the flower that the flower produces fruit. And the seed gets into us. Okay? How many of you have ever heard of the parable of the sower? Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 says this, the seed is the Word of God. So when the Word of God gets into us, it brings us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It brings us into an awareness of the Word and will of God, and our lives are changed to be conformed into His image. Because the Word is the seed, and it gets in our lives, and it fertilizes things, and it brings the life out of us. But I want to take you one more step here, and let's figure some things out. Okay, most of the time you hear me read out of the New International Version because I like the updated English. But I want to take you back to the Old English. Okay, and so the next three passages here we're going to look at are back in the Old Testament, and there's a reason for that. Because we're going to talk about the fact that fruit is produced by more than acquaintance. You don't produce fruit just because you know about God. You produce fruit because you are intimately involved with God. So let me take you on a little history tour. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. King James Version. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Adam knew Eve. Now, in the newer translation, it updates that and is more distinct and definite. But all intents and purposes this morning, I want you to remember that word knew. Genesis chapter 4:17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again. Adam likes knowing his wife. And she bare a son and called his name Seth, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. How many of you know what this knowing stuff is? That's a very poor show of hands. So either I am just like way out of whack here and you guys don't have a clue what I'm talking about, or you're too embarrassed to raise your hand. How many of you know what's going on in this verse? Okay. Any chance that any of you know each other out there? You can't lie to me because I saw your kids. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. This is a story about Isaac and Rebekah. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The Immaculate Conception. What we're talking about here, in order to produce fruit, is intimacy in relationship. You don't produce fruit because you know there is a God. You don't produce fruit just because you know the Bible is God's Word. You don't produce fruit just because everybody ought to know the Lord. You produce fruit because you know the Lord. An intimate relationship is required to reproduce like kind. The motivation, the knowledge, there's nothing there to produce fruit without that relationship. You see, when people are more than acquainted, when they become intimate with each other, they want to please each other. They can't live without each other. They spend time with each other. They think about each other constantly. I remember in my youthful days when I became a complete nuisance at the Goss household. Jennifer's folks lived 3 miles from town. My folks lived 18 miles from town. And so I worked at Town and Country Supermarket in town. So I would go to work early to go by the Goss house. I would take lunch break and eat at the Goss house. And I would go by after work just to check on the Goss house, because that's where Jennifer Goss was at. I spent a lot of time there. And then we got married. And then we really got to know each other. Intimacy took place. Children were born. Just like, it's amazing how that works, just like Adam and Eve. You do know what I'm talking about, don't you? Intimacy. Fruitfulness comes from intimacy. God is reproduced in me. And the love of Christ reproduced in me has such a great impact and such an attractiveness that others are drawn and come to know Christ because of what they see. But here's where we really got to separate the men from the boys. What's the result? of not bearing fruit. I've tried to look at this every which way I could. But I want you to hear these verses. John chapter 15 and verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So there's a difference between pruning and cutting off. Cutting off is not pruning. Cutting off is separation. Verse 6 says this, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, can you remain in something you've never been in the first place? Is that even possible? So, if you follow this scripture, there has to be a relationship. You have to have been in Christ before you can be cut off or separated from or not remain in. But it obviously is an option or it wouldn't be there. I have read an article or more. Matter of fact, I've read more than one article. I've read several things and I've heard some messages preached. And I have heard this passage, John 15:2, referred to that. That is not what it means. That in the Greek, the word that's used, that we translated cut off in the English, that word also can be translated lift up. Now, back to Pat working in the vineyard. And I don't know what your experience was or what happened there, but the deal is that in that process, what they're saying is that there are some branches that are not in direct sunlight, or they're somehow not getting all the water or whatever. So you lift them up and you change their position to give them more sunlight to make them more probable to bear fruit. I'm not here. I am not a good enough Bible scholar. I don't know Greek and Hebrew well enough to tell you that absolutely cannot happen. That's not it. Okay? So maybe that's a possible explanation. That we're not talking completely being cut off here. We're talking about lifting up to indeed enhance the ability to produce fruit. But here's what I know. Jesus is talking about remaining in him, and he's talking about the possibility of not remaining in him. So he's indeed inferring that you can be in a relationship with Jesus Christ and take yourself out of it. I don't know how else to interpret that, folks. I don't know any other way to, I mean, it's there. And if I back you up back to Matthew chapter 7 again, and you read on past where we were at in verses 19 and 20, and you begin at verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So there are obviously people who lay claim or profession of faith to Christianity and say they've done stuff in the name of Jesus and they're not going to heaven. See, how can that be? Well, all I know is he's talking in red letters here about not getting into heaven. And it goes on to say, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then in verse 23, he says this, then I will tell them plainly. I think there's an emphasis on that. I think that means emphatically, I will let them know. You remember all that knowing we were talking about? There's a reason for that. Hear this verse. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What's he saying? You and I were never intimate. Now, I know that you know, And I read some articles on this week, and I'm not going to get into all that because it's not necessary. But I'm going to say this. There are people who have fallen in love, supposedly, gotten married, and there are testimonies out there of people who got married and have gone weeks, months, and even beyond years of never consummating a marriage. Now, all of you will not know what I'm talking about, but for the ones of you who do, you get it. There are people who get into a relationship and never consummate the marriage. There is never intimacy that takes place. And oftentimes, the people who are on the dead end of that and saying, I cannot live in a relationship where there is no passion or emotion or reciprocation or affection, or no intimacy, and they annul the marriage. The law provides that if a marriage is not consummated, you don't have to get a divorce. You annul it because it's just not right. That's not how God designed the thing to work. You cannot multiply and replenish the earth like he told Adam and Eve to do. And everyone since that time, you cannot multiply and replenish the earth unless you consummate the marriage. There must be intimacy. There will be people who will say, I go to church, I sing in the choir, I pay my tithe, I do this, and what's the deal here? And he's going to look at them and say, I don't know because I don't know you. We've never been intimate. You don't spend any time with me. You're not interested in my word. The seed does not get into your life. You don't read the Bible. You don't pray. You go to church when you don't have anything else to do. You're not doing anything to create an intimate relationship. And you don't bear fruit. You lose your temper. You're ugly to other people. You're critical of anything and everybody. And that's not me. That is not Jesus. That is not how that works. You're not producing fruit. You've not brought anybody to Christ. And people do not want to come know me because of what they see in you. I'm just telling you the truth. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If I don't say this, if I don't preach this sermon, if I'm not your pastor, does it change what this book says? The reason we're doing what we're doing is to bring other people to Christ. And I don't want to get to heaven and be standing in line at judgment, waiting to get to heaven, and have somebody have judgment passed on them. We be standing in line, and you look at me and say, you didn't tell me that. I didn't know. I never knew. I chose you to bear fruit. If you remain in me, you will bear fruit. Is that what the book says? So we got to start asking ourselves, am I bearing fruit? Is the life of Christ, is the character of God so coming forth out of my life and my relationship with other people that they're attracted to what they see? And do they desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ because of what they see in me? Now, you may be able to produce fruit and not necessarily be the one who actually says the sinner's prayer with somebody and leads them to Christ. But be very, very careful that you don't try to excuse yourself so that you don't even attempt. What I'm saying, though, is your life may be a piece in a chain that brings someone to a relationship with Christ. That's certainly possible. But shouldn't we be attempting to do the maximum rather than getting by with the minimum? Some of you guys are employers. If you employ somebody and they try to do the minimum or less, How long do you want to keep them from an employee and pay them the same wage that you're paying people who work their tails off? You don't. So why should God? If you don't do what's expected, if you don't do what the Bible says will happen automatically, if indeed you are intimate with Christ and live out this life, if that's not happening, it's time for us to evaluate. It's time for us to let the Holy Spirit speak to us and say, hey, there's some changes. I want to make some adjustments. And we need to open ourselves to those adjustments and changes instead of being resistant and saying, I'm okay. I don't care. I got to make some adjustments. I'm just going to tell you, I got to make some adjustments. I'm working on it right now. Because those things that are the lifeline of Christianity and that keep us where we ought to be intimately, busyness can destroy. Not bad things, just busyness can destroy your intimate relationship with God. I'm thinking I want to be fruitful. How about you? As a church, and as a person, I want to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit. And so, Janet, I want you to come to the piano this morning, and we're going to sing an old song together. I just want you to think a little bit. Let the Lord talk to you. But there's an old song in the hymn book that says, "Have thine own way, Lord." You don't need the hymn book because we're going to, Justin, we got the words? Okay, they're going to be on the screen. So you don't need a hymn book. I want your hands free. You might want to hang on to the back of a pew. Because sometimes when God's dealing with you, that's what people do. Someone's going to give you both hands. No hymn books. You can hang on to the pew if you want to. But you might want to let go of the pew. And you might want to step out in faith and say, you know what? I'm tired of burying my head in the sand. This stuff about Christianity is serious stuff. I'm just playing a game. I can't go around professing stuff and not following through. And so, Lord, I don't seem to be able to do this on my own. So I need your help. I know I need the Lord's help. So I want you to stand. Justin, if you'll give us the first verse, we're going to sing this song together. And we're going to sing all four verses. Because then we'll know it's over. There's no any more holding on after that. You got four verses. These altars are open to you. I want to bear fruit. Fruit. So let's sing together. And if you need a place to pray, you just feel free to come, talk to the Lord, and let's be a fruit-bearing church. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am. I will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way. Savior divine.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. O Lord, my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only, always living in me.
We have a couple that have come this morning. Perhaps some of you men or ladies can come and just give us some prayer assistance at the altar this morning. We're just here to be obedient, to let God have His way in our lives and speak to our hearts. And the bottom line is, I believe every one of us want to bear fruit. I don't think there's anybody here who say, Lord, I don't want to bear fruit. I don't think there's anybody like that. But the enemy is so good and so crafty at what he does, sometimes he just busies us up and he gets us to kind of put things off, and we just keep pushing it to the back burner. We just keep saying, oh, it's no big deal. No big deal. Yeah, you know. And we just need to sense the urgency. How many of you believe that Jesus could come anytime? And that'd be great, wouldn't it? I mean, going to heaven, this is not a good place compared to heaven. But while we're here, why waste our time? Why not indeed be productive? Why not indeed be the person that God wants us to be and just allow Him to have His will and His way? We're going to pray with these that are here at the altar. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you have to go, you may go. If you would be seated after the prayer and just wait on the Lord, if you'd like, that's fine. But we want to be sure that we give attention to these that have responded to the altar call this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Father, we are grateful for your love. Lord, you have challenged my heart as I prepared this message this week. You kind of swatted me, Lord. You kind of switched me and said, you got to get with it. And so, Lord, I thank you for speaking to my heart. I ask you to forgive me where I failed you. Lord, I want to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit. I want to be intimate with you. I want to bear fruit. And so, Lord, just help us to be the church you want us to be and the people you want us to be. And we'll give you praise for it all in Jesus' precious and powerful name. All God's people said, amen. If you must go, you can. If you would be seated and be in the spirit of prayer with us for a moment, that'd be great.